everybody. What's going on? It's Sunday. Khan says, taking it way back to the honky silent movie era.
That's almost what Khan said, yeah. it's like the silver screen, man. Back when, not quite
to the silent era. Yeah, these all have sound.
back when the United States was purported to be white as snow. It wasn't. It never was. A lot of those so-called white people were actually Mexicans and stuff. True. And you had a lot of mixed race people that came across. They were purported to be Caucasian in a lot of these movies. But it was show business. You know, you could be anything. Karloff wasn't a white guy. He was mixed. He was white and English and Indian, from India. But still, it was awesome. You know what I mean? It just he could play any kind of ethnic character. He could do the mummy, and he could definitely do fucking Frankenstein.
I mean, this was his star-making turn.
Yeah.
You have to think that, I mean, he was older, like, he was middle-aged, like, when he'd been in movies before, but he wasn't a big star. Like, he was just kind of, like, a character actor. Yeah. He was in, like, a lot of kind of crime, like, noir type of movies, like, always kind of playing thugs. Yeah, like, things like that.
Something like that, yeah.
But when he was in Frankenstein, I think he was in his 40s,
yeah.
And this was, like, absolutely his, like, breakout role, and, you know, he was just an icon, like, from the moment this movie came out.
So we're going to talk about Frankenstein, and then Bride of Frankenstein.
And Bride of Frankenstein.
So this is a twofer.
Yeah.
And was this the only Frankenstein movie he was in, or was he in any other ones?
He was in the third one, which is Son of Frankenstein, but that was the last one that he was in. I think after that, like, Lon Chaney Jr. Took over, and then I can't remember, like, who else. Because there was 7 or 8 movies, like, in this particular cycle, but he was in the first three.
Right, these are both good movies. Bride of Frankenstein being better.
A lot of people say that.
I'm going to say that it's better. It's kind of like the difference between Alien and Aliens.
Okay. That's a good simile, like, actually.
Or Terminator 1, Terminator 2. Even though I like Terminator 1 better. But he's got a bigger part in it. Frankenstein's on screen more. The Frankenstein monster's on screen more. A lot more. He speaks. There's a lot of lines in it.
Although Boris didn't like that at first. He didn't think the monster should talk.
No, he should have talked.
I mean, in the book he talks.
In the book.
He talks in the book.
In the book. And eventually in the second one you were introduced to a new villain, and it's a masterpiece. I actually prefer the second one.
A lot of people do, like I said. Yeah, I'm not sure. I kind of feel like they're both good, but I like that they were. I like that your simile of, like, Alien versus Aliens, because it's like they're clearly happening in the same universe.
Yeah.
But
there's a lot of differences.
You can kind of take both things. So, you know what I mean? Like, Alien is like a horror movie, and, like, Aliens is more like an action movie, even though they're kind of both along the same lines. That's kind of the same. Frankenstein, the first one from 1931, is much more like a very simple monster movie. And I kind of feel like Bride of Frankenstein is a lot more complex, and it's almost like a black comedy. Almost.
It also looks a lot better. It's a bigger budget. It's a lot more gothic. It's got a lot of fucking badass gothic visual imagery. The shot composition is fucking great. The acting's really good. It's a much better movie, the second one. I mean, you got fucking the creature. All right, Frankenstein's monster down in catacombs.
Yeah, that was a great sequence.
With
really
bones.
Yeah,
talking to him, and it's just the way the shit's shot, the sets and everything. It's epic. It looks like gothic postcards, black and white postcards. What it looks like, fucking really good. The first one's good too, but the second one is a fucking strong response to the first one. And they added in a bunch of new elements into it that were cool, that were still kind of contemporary, because not only do they bring fucking reanimated corpses that are alive, they bring in homunculus.
Yeah.
All right, which that's another thing that they believed in back then, or they were theorized. It was like from the horror sci-fi, where a man could take his sperm and bring that to life.
Yeah, they couldn't say that word.
They couldn't say it.
He said seed.
He called it seed.
Dr. Pretorius. This isn't Bride of Frankenstein, by the way.
Dude's messing with their seed.
and I'm like, ooh,
and
gross.
Making little creatures out of them.
Putting them in jars.
Making little kings and queens.
Maybe a little king and a little ballerina.
Shit, little fucking ballerina hotties and shit.
So like, weird.
Some weird shit.
It was very
so
weird.
You had a dude who was into messing with his seed, hooking up, good, call it what it is, fucking, and he's shown as kind of a fucking pervert. You know, they kind of portrayed, you're a perverted motherfucker, is where they portrayed him. And he's hooking up with Dr. Frankenstein, and together they're going to make a new super race. And that's in the second one. So it went from alien to aliens in the second one.
Kind of did.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked the second one. I got to see the third one. We're going to see the third one. We'll do a video.
I've heard Son of, I don't think I've seen Son of Frankenstein, or if I have, I was a kid. But a lot of people like the third one as well. Like, yeah. I think after that, they kind of started to go downhill. Well, because Boris Karloff didn't play the monster, after the third one. You got to have Karloff. I mean, I'm not shitting on, like, other people that played Frankenstein's monster, because I have Bela Lugosi played him later on, I think, in the Abbott Costello one and shit like that. But, I mean, Boris Karloff is just kind of like, he owns that fucking role. Yeah. And he owns it.
Well, and a lot of the imagery of fucking the creature or Frankenstein's monster going through, like, cemeteries with fucking, you know what I mean, with headstones, with crosses, and all the imagery that you think of when you think of Frankenstein was from the second movie, not so much the first. The first was good, but a lot of the really good imagery came from the second one.
I mean, yeah, but I do kind of feel like... like I said, I think there's, like, a lot of... because I was watching, like, other people's, reviews of these movies and stuff like that. But a lot of people really do like Bride of Frankenstein better. Like, they're saying that it's, like, this is one of the rare cases where the sequel was better than the original. But like I said, it is a slightly different tone. I kind of feel like the first one, like I said, was more like a straight-up horror monster movie. Like, so it was a lot more serious. And you didn't really get to... I mean, even though Frankenstein's monster in the first one was sympathetic, in much the same way that King Kong was, for example, because he doesn't talk, like, you can't really get to know him as a character. He's just kind of like a force of nature a little bit, even though, like I said, you do feel bad for him. Whereas in the second one, I kind of feel like you have a lot more sympathy for him, even though he kills a lot more people, just because he talks, and you can see that... he's just so angry at, like, everyone, like, fucking with him constantly. So you can't really blame him for being pissed off and killing people, because everyone's kind of dicks.
He's a sympathetic guy, Frankenstein's monster. Yeah, he's sympathetic.
Yeah.
I mean, they were fucking with him.
Sewn together out of corpses, man. It was just kind of like...
it's a good character.
You know what I'm saying?
And then,
And
then in the second one, when they bring in the bride... the bride was cool too, but my big fucking knock against the second one is that the bride was not on screen for very long.
Yeah, she's in it for like a minute.
And she ends up getting killed.
Spoiler alert for a really, really old movie.
They shouldn't have done it.
And she wasn't in any of the sequels. Like, they never brought her back.
Yeah, they should never have done it. Because it was a great idea.
I mean, that character look is just so fucking awesome.
There was a fucking fantastic character. You could have spinoffs and everything using that character. But they didn't quite think that way back then. They tried to wrap everything up. But in the second one, you had a situation where you had two perverted geniuses saying, well, we're going to make a woman this time. And they use the bones of a fucking, evidently, the strong bones of a hot 18-year-old died.
They were firm bones.
Strong bones of a hot 18-year-old girl who died in the late 1800s. They're going to use that, and they wrapped a bunch of flesh around it using an artificial brain that Dr. Pretorius made
somehow,
and with the heart of a hooker.
I mean, the implication is
it was a heart of a hooker.
Because Fritz, like the assistant, he just went out there and grabbed her off the street.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that in a movie of this ilk, like, any woman that was walking around the streets alone at that time of night was probably a prostitute.
It's a man's fantasy going back to the fucking 30s. You make your own woman, just made to order. Okay? She's fucking built on the fucking structure of an 18-year-old. Hot as hell. An AI, artificially intelligent brain, heart of a hoe. And she comes out, she's got boob shadow and everything in the shot. Her fucking hair. And she loves you when she comes out. But it goes wrong. It goes wrong.
Well,
she loved Dr.
That's what happened.
And she's savage and she, it fucking, and they should have never killed that character, but they didn't understand branding back then. They didn't see the potential.
I mean, they did in the Frankenstein's monster, because he was in like a fuck ton of movies.
They didn't understand how that broad could have made him a lot of money.
Well, that's the thing. And it's like, man, that could have been its whole own spinoff.
Exactly. Exactly.
Maybe they just didn't think about it because she was just kind of like, oh, Bride of Frankenstein. Like, she was like an adjunct.
She's just a woman. Dudes would have paid to see that shit all fucking day.
But I mean, I think it's kind of emblematic, like the fucking, the impact that she made. Literally, if you say the movie's called The Bride of Frankenstein, and like Elsa Lanchester and the hair is like all over the poster, even though she's literally only in the movie for like maybe 2 minutes, like toward the end, most of it is about Dr. Pretorius and Dr. Frankenstein, and then like, you know, Frankenstein's monster Boris Karloff doing his rampage or whatever, trying to make friends and all that.
Yeah.
So you literally don't see her until the very, very end.
Yeah.
And then like she's immediately like killed
Pretty
off like within 2 minutes.
And she's compelling. You're like, wow, wow.
I mean, the look of that is so fucking great.
They should have never killed that character. Dumb idea. The only thing similar to that would have been the Species, the movie Species.
Yeah, with Natasha Hansford.
Yeah, that was a similar concept. And the other one was, what was Space Vampires? What was the one?
Life Force. The Tobey Hooper movie.
Yeah, Tobey Hooper.
Great movie if you haven't seen it.
So
weird as shit.
Those are the only two movies that kind of had that female horror sex element. And they got it. That was it. And they threw it away. I don't understand.
Elsa Lanchester's like cute as shit.
The thing is,
I'm not sure if you haven't seen it in a long time. She's not just the Bride of Frankenstein at the end. She also plays Mary Shelley, like at the beginning. Because for whatever reason, I'm not really sure why they decided to do this, but there's kind of like a little prologue, which is her and Percy Shelley and Lord Byron, and they're talking about, I guess it was kind of a way, because there was 4 years, I think, like in between, because Frankenstein, the first one, came out in 1931, and then the second one didn't come out till 1935. So it wasn't like you could just like watch the old one like before you saw the new one, you know what I mean? It didn't work like that back then. So they had to like recap what had happened at the first one, because the second one starts like pretty much right where the first one ended. So they have like a little prologue where she's being Mary Shelley and Lord Byron is like, why don't you tell us the rest of that story that you were talking about? And she's like, oh, well, let's catch everybody up with what happened in the first movie in case you don't remember. And then she's like, and then this happened, you know what I mean? So, and then they kind of like, you know, but so she gets to be in it. And interestingly, they credit her like in the credits as Mary Shelley, but then like as the monster's mate, like they put a question mark, just like they did at the beginning of the first Frankenstein when they didn't want you to know like who the monster was. Like they put Boris Karloff at the end, like in the end credits, but they didn't put it in the beginning credits.
Con is commenting on the shirt saying he may get something like that. Look, if you want one of these shirts, go ahead and send me a private message. We'll hook something up. And
Con also said, that's a new shirt, may I seed you?
No, if you want an Omega Man shirt, just send me a private message. We'll work it out. I'll send it to, you know, sleeve, any size or style you want. Okay. I can hook you up. But no, they should have never thrown that bride character away. You could have gotten two or three movies out of that easily. Two or three more. You just have to play it the right way.
Yeah, like I said, that would have been a totally cool. And it's weird too, because
people would have went to see it. They would.
Bride of Frankenstein, though, is one that they haven't even like remade.
No,
I don't even think. Did Hammer do one?
No,
they did their own Frankenstein movies.
The one with Sting, they did a little.
Yeah, but that was not. We talked about that one from the '80s, but it's like that's not exactly.
You need to go straight Bride. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm just surprised that hasn't been done.
She's got to be in it a lot. And you have to do
And she got
to
look like that.
She got to look like that.
I want like that iconic look.
And she's got to be
Because she looked normal.
She's got to be undead like Frankenstein. And she has to be femmy as shit.
See, that would kick ass.
And dudes are trying to get in it. And fucking and then she's got all these problems about being basically an undead sex bot. And then getting vengeance or somehow coming into her own.
Honestly, the closest movie that's been made like was maybe like Frankenhooker.
Frankenhooker. Frankenhooker's close.
It is. Which sounds crazy, but
yeah
Frankenhooker is like kind of like a there was Bride of Reanimator. Like somebody mentioned Reanimator, which is like Reanimator is like a Frankenstein story, even though it's based on loosely based on H.P. Lovecraft story. But it also has elements of Frankenstein.
I think if you're going to do Bride of Frankenstein, it has to be in the same spirit of this movie and then Cat People kind of mixed in together.
It's, yeah, it's see, that would
like
be rad.
Something like Cat People. It's got to be a chick flick, but a horror flick at the same time.
Yeah, because Cat People, and she was a monster too. Even though she looked regular, she didn't look like. She just like turned into
And she has to come to realize that she's a sentient being, but she was made to basically be a fucking sex bot. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, that's what they just made her because they wanted to like
see if they could make a beautiful woman.
Well, they wanted her to breed with Frankenstein's monster, and they could make like a race of people.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
See, they don't come out and say she has the fucking heart of a hooker, but dude killed a woman who was walking around in the middle of the night, and it's implied that she was a hooker.
The heart. I mean, that was the implication.
Yeah, heart of a hooker. By the way, it's that for the time that would fit. Yeah. Okay, yeah. She's like a hooker.
Well, the thing about it, I kind of thought too when they're like, hey, because the first heart that they got like wasn't working out. So they're like, okay, well, we need you, Fritz, to go. Although I think it was the same actor. It was Dwight Frye, who incidentally was the same guy that played Renfield in the Dracula movie, like with Bela Lugosi. But he was in the first movie as Fritz, the assistant. He's also in the second movie, but Fritz got killed in the first one, so they call him Carl in this one, even though it's clearly the same dude. Although he doesn't have, like, a hunchback or anything. So they basically tell him, well, we need you to go out to and get us another heart because this one's not working. And I was like, oh, I'll just pop down to the 24-hour heart mart and, like, pick you up one. Yeah. But they show him, like, kind of skulking around in an alley and, like, throwing a hood over this woman's head, and then, like, they don't show what happens to it. So I'm assuming and they didn't straight up tell him, hey, go out and kill somebody. I think they were expecting him to like go rob a fucking, you know, a hospital or something like that. You know what I mean? I don't think they like legit told him, because when he came back and he's just like, ooh, it's real fresh, and they were like, what do you mean? You know what I mean? It's like that I killed somebody. I just, you know what I mean? I can't.
Well,
they just
paid him a certain amount of crowns.
Right.
So he's like 1,000 crowns, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was 1,000 crowns, which I don't know how much money that is, but it's apparently
probably
like
about
a lot.
$10,000 probably. Right?
It's apparently a lot. Yeah, go get us a heart.
Yeah.
They didn't really say not to kill somebody.
He got it out of a lone woman in Bavaria walking around at night in the middle of the fucking city. And in the days that they're talking about, that would have been a hooker. That's what they're talking about.
Yeah. Fred said Fritz picks the abnormal brain. Yeah, that's the funny thing. Like, in the first movie, you think, because if all you've seen is Young Frankenstein, you know, like the Mel Brooks like parody of Frankenstein, you kind of think that whole normal brain, Abby normal brain, like Abby someone, you kind of think that's a joke, but that actually does happen in the first movie. Like, you know, Fritz goes to get the brain, and he picks up the normal brain that's just been left there, like after an anatomy class, like conveniently, and he drops it. And he's like, oh, shit. So then he just goes and gets the other one and, like, doesn't tell. Yeah. So it's like, in Young Frankenstein, it's like, it's funny, but it's, like, not a joke because that's exactly what happens in the first movie. They didn't even, like, really exaggerate it.
So you want to start with the first movie? Do you have all the stuff for that one?
Yeah, I mean, we're just kind of, we're just kind of, like, a loose. I didn't want it to be, like,
They're both good movies, but I'm going to give it to the second one. The second one's a lot better. And
now,
it's more of what you would consider, everything you think of Frankenstein and Frankenstein's monster comes more from the second movie than the first one. The first one is kind of, there's a lot of dialogue in it. It's kind of basic. The second one's a lot better. There's a lot more on-screen action. The imagery's a lot better. The budget is bigger. Like I said, they're both good, but that second one fucking blows the first one out of the water, if you ask me. It just looks a lot better.
I think mostly the reason that I've seen people that prefer the first one to the second one, which, like I said, there's nothing wrong with that opinion either. I think I slightly prefer the second one, but I can see why people would like the first one better. Most people that prefer the first one, they don't like the humor or the camp factor
in the second one. Yeah.
Which I can see that. Because a little bit, now I will say that one character, like that older woman that's always like shrieking and and shit like
she's
that.
She's comedic relief.
Yeah, she's kind of annoying, but I mean, she's kind of funny though, at the same time.
What's funny is that they keep showing her as like a old hag, but you look at her now and like, because I saw this when I was a kid, it made an impression on me, certain scenes like where they have fucking Frankenstein's monster chained up in the dungeon and everything. I remember that when I was a kid. But what was funny about this is that when I was a little kid, I thought it was like, yeah, crazy old lady. You look at her now, She's maybe 40.
Yeah, she's not that old.
She's like maybe 45. She's not an old lady. She's they're making her look older, but she's not an old lady. She's actually kind of cute, you know, in a way. If you saw her just walking around and she's being normal, she'd just be a cute middle-aged woman. But it's kind of funny to see her do her little fucking thing now, you know. Because as a kid, I remember, and I remember her being an old lady. But she's not an old lady.
She's not really that old.
No.
When you look at her.
No, she's pretending to be a crazy old lady.
I think she played a very similar character in The Invisible Man, now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one.
Which was
a
couple years before then.
You gotta see The Invisible Man, gotta see Wolfman, gotta see...
Yeah, we're trying to, like, watch all the universe.
Gotta see the fucking Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah.
Okay, now, as far as Boris Karloff goes, and Karloff's work, I'm gonna give it more to The Mummy. The Mummy has a lot. There's a lot more to The Mummy in terms of speaking lines that Karloff has, and Black Cat, the Black Cat with fucking Bela Lugosi. Those are still, I think, kind of, in some ways, superior movies in terms of like his acting role in it. I mean, don't get me wrong; he does a great job as the monster. He does have some speaking lines in it.
In the second one.
The second one.
Not in the first one.
Not so much in the first one. But the visually, Bride of Frankenstein's fucking fantastic. I mean, it knocks it out of the park. It's better than The Mummy. But in terms of fucking just dialogue and story, The Mummy. If you're talking about Karloff and his work, I would say The Mummy. That's his movie. He carries that fucking movie. Yeah. It doesn't quite visually look as cool as fucking The Bride, though. The Bride of Frankenstein fucking... visually, it's,
you know what's really interesting about the makeup, like the Frankenstein's monster makeup in both the movies? Like, I mean, the original 1931 Frankenstein, you know, the makeup obviously by Jack Pierce is like, he also did The Mummy, by the way, which we talked about the other day, but is iconic. The thing about it looks a little bit different in the second one, and that's because I didn't actually really notice this until I delved a little bit into the backstory behind it. They said they wanted the monster in the second one. Well, one, he couldn't, he had to, like, I think in the first one he had, like, some things in his mouth, like, to make his cheeks look more sunken in. And in the second one, since he was going to be talking, like, they couldn't have that. So he didn't have, like, those sunken cheeks like in the first one. But also in the second one, they wanted it to look like he'd been in a fire. So they made it so that, like, most of his hair was burned off, if you noticed that. Like, he didn't have, like, as much hair as in the first one. And also there was, like, you could see, like, the little metal rivets, like, where the skull was held together, like, these kind of little metal things like that, as though part of the hair had burned away and, like, part of the skin had burned away, and now you could see that. And they said as the movie went on, it looked like his face was, like, healing up from him, like, being in the fire and, like, all the shit that happened to him and everything. So it's, like, that kind of, like, attention to detail, that's, like, really, really amazing, you have to say. But, yeah, so when Boris Karloff, when they asked him to do Bride of Frankenstein, and they told him, well, Bride of Frankenstein, you know, the monster's gonna talk, he was not a fan of that idea. He didn't think that the monster would be scary if he talked, and he just didn't like it. But I mean, I guess James Whale was, like, pretty insistent. And like I said, the monster does talk in the book. In the book, the monster actually, like, learns to talk, and is really eloquent, like, finds, like, some books or something like that, and, like, teaches, like, reads Paradise Lost and shit like that. So he's, like, real, like, philosophical, which I don't think that would work, like, with the character that they've established. But the fact that they made him, like, more a character, and kind of, like, they said we wanted him to be kind of like a kid, you know what I mean? So they said that they studied, like, 10-year-olds and, like, their you know, their kind of, like, vocabulary, like, words that they would use, and they wanted him to be like that, like, use the same vocabulary as, like, a 10-year-old kid.
How this movie ends in terms of The Bride, or The Bride of Frankenstein, the creature actually ends up being a hero. He dispenses justice. He destroys evil, and he lets Dr. Frankenstein and his wife go. He says, you can go.
Which that didn't happen in the book.
It didn't happen in the book, but...
he kills the wife in the book.
Right. And the reason why he did that is because in this movie, is because Dr. Frankenstein himself did not want to do, did not want to make the bride. He was forced into it. Dr. Pretorius made him do it. So the monster didn't hold him responsible for it. And in this one, the monster destroys himself, Dr. Pretorius, and the bride.
And all the bride, of us, yeah.
Because he said that they weren't fit.
And Carl.
And Carl. But that shit really... He survived it anyway, because it's the third movie.
Well, yeah. So it's a little bit of an empty gesture.
Yeah. He tried to erase it, which that's not really how it would have gone down in the book. In the book, the monster would have tried to... He would have killed Dr. fucking Frankenstein, too, for making him.
Yeah,
which is
yeah, because that was kind of the whole right.
going against God
point of the thing. Right. Yeah, and like I think Slasher Fred like or somebody like pointed out earlier that there was actually when the first movie Frankenstein came out, which was a massive hit. Universal had been like in a lot of financial trouble prior to Dracula coming out, and Dracula was such a massive hit that they're like, oh shit, we need to make a horror movie like right now because, you know, we're making all this money. So that's when Frankenstein came along. So they're like, oh, well, we need to do an adaptation of Frankenstein. But they actually did a adaptation, not so much of the novel, but much like they did with Dracula, it was like a stage play. Like, yeah. I think a stage play had come out like in the 1830s, 1839, something like that. Well, Mary Shelley was still alive. Like, she did actually see the stage play version of it. But they had been, you know, that had kind of been going around, and they kind of based the screenplay on that. So the first Frankenstein movie is, I was reading a thing that it said maybe 15% of the book is kind of like what's in the movie.
Not much there, yeah.
Bride of Frankenstein, believe it or not, is actually more faithful to the book, but there's still like a lot of shit in there that doesn't happen. In Bride of Frankenstein, like the stuff with the blind man.
Yeah,
the stuff with you know, him making a mate for the monster, like the monster wanting a mate, that's all in the book. But there's a lot of stuff that's like added. But there's been a lot of stuff like added from the first one too, because you know, in the book, Dr. Frankenstein, there's not like all, you know, like the mad science type of thing with all the like you know, the gadgets and all that kind of stuff. That's not in the book. Like basically, the book doesn't really say like how exactly he creates.
The guy,
it was kind of like an alchemy kind of situation.
The whole blind man scene was choking me up when I was a kid. I remember seeing
it's
that.
It's so sad.
You're like, oh, yeah. Fucking, the blind man scene makes the movie that should have been in the first movie. I thought it was in the first movie.
I did, too. I forgot.
It's in the second movie.
Frankenstein's monster, like, throwing the little girl.
That's in the first
into
movie.
The pond, like, yeah. thinking that she'll float and, like, accidentally killing her. That's in the first movie.
That's in the first movie.
I thought the blind man thing was in the first movie, too, but it's not. It's in Bride of Frankenstein. It's in Bride of Frankenstein.
You're right.
But that's the thing. In the book, you know, Frankenstein... The reason that the monster kills Frankenstein's wife, Elizabeth, is because Frankenstein... Because in the book, Dr. Pretorius, I don't think, is in the book.
No.
Dr. Frankenstein is just basically like, okay, well, I'm going to make a mate for the monster because he's going to fuck with me if I don't. And so he does it, but then he realizes, oh shit, shouldn't have done that. And he destroys her.
Yeah.
And then the monster gets mad and is like, fuck you and your wife, and kills the wife, like, in retaliation, like, because he didn't go through with it.
The Dr. Pretorius character I thought was a good move.
He's so great in this. He chews all the scenery up, and it's glorious.
It was a good idea to put him in the second movie so there's a second villain, a real villain, to take the load off of the monster. All right. Because the monster's not truly a villain, really. He's scary, he's a threat. But the real villain is Dr. Pretorius in this one.
Yeah.
And he's a perverted evil genius, all right? And the guy playing him is fucking fantastic. His dialogue's fantastic. He's a fucking pimp. He's fucking... he's a pimp. He's fucking...
He's a great character.
He's twisting everybody's minds and getting the fucking monster to do what he wants and fucking pimping his ass out. It's fucking funny. And... But he's evil. He's kind of, and the casting was good. He's kind of like fucking Peter Murphy. He's kind of like an old Peter Murphy, an old skinny Peter Murphy. Because Peter Murphy, he's a motherfucking bubble gut motherfucker. But
he used to be skinny.
He's kind of like an old Peter Murphy with long nose and shit. He looks great on camera, and he's a good character. I recommend both movies. You kind of want to see them both. They're not long either. The first one isn't long. The second one's a little bit longer.
They're about the same. I think one of them is an hour and 13 minutes, and one's an hour and 14 minutes, or an hour and 19 minutes, or something like that. They're both really short.
So you could easily watch them back to back.
Yeah, they're not long at all.
Something that you'd watch like on a fucking rainy night while you're having a drink. You got to slow yourself down. It was another era back then. But they're cool. And I like the second one. The second one was also packed with hotties. There's a lot of 1930s hotties in there. And they were big into glamour. All right. And the glamour shots, the hair, the outfits, they were sexy, but it was a different kind of, it wasn't in your face. It was kind of a subtle, they knew what to do with shadow and costumes. Because, you know, they weren't going to show nudity, but they were going to try to show you nudity. And they did that even with the bride. When the bride is on her table and they fucking stand her up, she's in all these like mummy wrappings. And they got the shadow just perfect so they could show you her very feminine figure.
So her boobs just.
And her boobs, she had boob shadow and everything. And they're letting you know that these perverted motherfuckers have made a sex toy, really, is what they've done. Which is what dudes would do. That's what they would do.
Yeah.
And spot on. No, if they're going to make a woman, she's going to be fucking hot. You know, they even put the heart of a hooker in it. And a fucking, not a real
one. Well, they didn't realize, I don't think. But
that's what they wanted. That's the directors are in on this, too. And then the brain wasn't even a real brain. It was a synthetic brain that fucking Dr. Pretorius made.
Somehow.
That wasn't explained. It was just a brain he made.
I kind of thought, and maybe this is, maybe I'm just talking out my ass, but I thought the implication was that Dr. Pretorius, because he came in and he showed the whole homunculus, that like all the stuff that he had in jars, like all those little people, like, yeah, that could have been just to like show off the like awesome special effects. And the special effects in this are really, really good for 1935. But, I mean, Georges Méliès had done some of that stuff, like, in the silent movies, like, with little tiny people in jars and stuff. But they look great here. I kind of thought that the implication was that Dr. Pretorius was more of, like, a black magic alchemy type of guy.
Yeah, alchemy.
Like, who was, that's like, not really... Right, was not really saying, like, how he was doing
it's
shit.
It's not science, it's
right,
magic.
And then he was kind of, like, approaching, and that's why he wanted to team up with Dr. Frankenstein, because Dr. Frankenstein was coming at it from a more scientific standpoint with, like, electricity and all of that.
It was science and black magic coming together.
Right, that's kind of what... They didn't, like, say that explicitly, but I thought that was implicit.
It's implied, yeah.
That's what I thought.
And the sexual elements are implied.
Big time.
Pretorius is messing with his cum.
Yeah.
Making creatures. Okay.
Well, like I said, I kind of feel like from a modern standpoint, I'm not sure how much you guys, I think most people know, but like James Whale, the director of both these movies, was one of the first openly gay men, like in Hollywood. Like he didn't make a secret about it. So a lot of people have read, not so much the first movie, but for sure the second movie, as kind of like having like a queer subtext, which is probably a lot clearer nowadays than it would have been back then.
Well, the Blind Hermit, that's kind of a gay subtext there.
Yeah,
waiting for a friend, and I can't see you, and it's not physical, it's mental. I can't see.
And I was kind of thinking too, like the relationship between Dr. Frankenstein and Dr. Pretorius, because they're essentially. Yeah. I mean, they want to... I saw something, or I read something where it was pointed out that Dr. Pretorius literally shows up, like, you know, and pulls Dr. Frankenstein, like, out of his bed, like, away from his wife to go do shit with him. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of that kind of stuff.
Gay male supremacy.
It is, right. I do kind of feel like... And I don't know if, like, James Whale would have, like, read it that way, but it does kind of, like, come across a little bit. It does kind of come across like that a little bit.
I was reading that into the Blind Hermit, the whole Blind Hermit thing. Come here now, I'll feed you now. Get into my bed, and then he's praying over him and everything, and it's just it's, and then friend.
Good.
Yeah, friend good. Yeah, fire good and bad. Yeah,
okay. Yeah. He tried to teach him all that.
The thing is, though, it's that's a touching scene.
And then, it is.
Then motherfuckers show up and fuck it up. for everybody.
One of those dudes was John Carradine. Did you realize?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. Yeah.
I didn't realize that either until I like looked at the list.
And the hermit was like, but he's my friend. And remember, he went down to, he never turned on Frankenstein.
No, he didn't.
He never turned on him.
Even though he said, this is the motherfucker. He's made out of dead people.
Yeah.
And he's been running around killing everybody.
He's my friend, though.
But he's but he's my friend. He's like, he hasn't like done anything. You guys are just being dicks to him. That's why he's like that.
Yeah.
You guys did it.
So that kind of shit is what made me think that the second one's better. The second one's a better writing. It looks better, better budget. And you need the first one to get the story started. But the second one fucking tops it off.
It's like I said, the second one is a lot more complex. Yeah. The first one's good if it's just like a simple monster movie.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I kind of slightly prefer, even though, like I said, you know, the monster is still sympathetic. Like, I kind of liked it when he wasn't talking. And I liked, like, his look better in the first one. But the second one, I think, like, objectively, probably, is, like, a better movie overall.
What's up, Foley?
What's the matter?
She's yawning and yelling.
Slasher Fred said, I read that Frankenstein's line, I know what it's like to be God, and the scene where the monster accidentally kills the young girl were originally cut from, you know, the original. Yes, they were. There was actually a lot of stuff cut out when the movie was first released, because you have to think, this was 1931, okay? They were very sensitive. And I read that, like, a couple of states in the U.S., like Kansas specifically, they wanted to, like, cut out half the movie because they just thought it was, like, too fucking upsetting. But one of the things that got cut out was him throwing the little girl into the water. They've since restored it, you know, that scene. But the thing about it, here's what's ironic about that scene. The scene where he picks her up, because he doesn't mean to. He doesn't know that she's going to drown. He's like, oh, the flowers float. Maybe she'll float, too. And she throws it in there. It's like, it's not his fault. He's not malicious. I mean, she's still dead, but, you know, he's not malicious.
It was an accident.
So the fact that they took that out, but then they left in the subsequent scene where the little girl's dad is carrying her dead body through the streets, and she looks, like, all fucking fucked up.
Yeah.
And you're not really sure what happened. I'm like, that kind of makes it seem worse.
Yeah, like he raped her or something.
Right, that's what I mean. Yeah. It's like, I think, like, the implication that was left by taking that one scene out, like, made it look even worse than it actually was. You know what I mean? And they did take out the scene where he's, and it's back in there now. Like I said, if you watch it on Tubi or wherever you watch it, like, the line where Colin Clive says, you know, now I know what it's like to be God, because after he brings the monster to life. Yeah, they took that part, they took that out too, because they thought it was sacrilegious. But, you know, it's all been restored now, which is good, because back in the 1930s, like I said, I don't think they had the same understanding of, like, film, maybe, like, as an art form, like, at least in general. So, like, when they cut stuff out of movies, they tend to just, like, cut stuff out and, like, chuck it away or, like, whatever. Yeah. So they didn't, like, save it or nothing. So it was good that they actually, like, still found those scenes that had been cut out and were able to restore them, because that would have been a real bummer if they'd been gone forever. Last Avenger 85 said Hammer did Frankenstein Created Woman. Oh, that's right. I totally forgot about
that. Yeah, there's a bunch of spinoffs.
I was going to say that there had to be a Hammer one, because they kind of went, and I'd forgotten about that one. I saw it a long time ago.
So far as Frankenstein stories, compared to Mary Shelley's book, from what I remember, I read it a long time ago, I would say that Frankenstein, Robert De Niro's Frankenstein, is the closest to the book from what I remember.
Yeah, we reviewed that not too long ago, but yeah, that's the most faithful one, the Kenneth Branagh directed one.
And it's a good movie. It even has the bride in it, if I remember correctly. She was in it, yeah. And that's basically the story. But there's something about Bride of Frankenstein, the second one from this series, visually, it knocks it out of the park.
Man, I love that scene in the crypt.
Yeah,
the blind man scene, I think, is the best scene in the movie. But that scene where they're in the crypt, and
the,
like,
shots in there,
and he comes across Dr. Pretorius, Dr. Pretorius, they're, like, drinking wine, like, because he's, like, a weird pervert, and he's, like, in there, like, drinking to a skull and, like, hanging out in the crypt and all this other shit.
The inside shots, the interior shots of Castle Frankenstein with the vaulted ceilings. I mean, fucking no, man. Yeah, and then the shots of fucking the Frankenstein's monster going through the cemetery at night, people chasing him, and all the damn fucking gravestones and fucking sarcophagus and shit. It's just visually gothic as fuck.
It really is, yeah.
Gothic as fuck. More gothic than Bela Lugosi's fucking Dracula. It's more gothic than
that. Yeah. I mean, I love the original Dracula. We should probably cover that one day, too.
We're gonna
do it. That's also
on
Tubi.
Yeah.
But I kind of feel like... And as a whole, I think as a novel, I liked Dracula a little bit better than Frankenstein, although I think both novels are great. But I think the movies of Frankenstein, at least the first two, are a lot more action-packed. Like, Dracula is a little bit slow-moving.
Yeah.
A little bit.
You can tell that's a stage play.
Right.
On film.
Well, the thing about it is that the original Frankenstein from 1931, that was based on a stage play, too. But it's a lot more, like I said, it's just like a monster movie. It's more obviously a monster movie than Dracula is, because Dracula is more like a character. But, I mean, for most of Dracula, you're kind of following, like, the, you know, the other characters, which I guess you kind of are in Frankenstein, too, but... I don't know. Just, I guess because the Doctor is such an iconic character, because the Doctor is like a fucking nut, too.
Yeah. Hey, stop it.
Knock it off, Poke.
She's tearing the walls up.
Yeah.
Stop it. Stop tearing it up.
She's like, what? I wasn't doing anything.
Oh, what?
Well, and that's the thing, too, is that in the novel, essentially, I mean, Dr. Frankenstein, the Doctor, is really the monster.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
He's the real monster.
He's the real monster.
Yeah.
So they actually, like, in the movies, they actually make him... not as monstrous. And I think in Bride of Frankenstein, them introducing the Dr. Pretorius character, who is clearly a villain, kind of lets Dr. Frankenstein off the hook a little bit.
It does.
Because Dr. Frankenstein, like, at the end of the first movie, like, you know, the monster kind of throws him off the mill, and, like, you think he's dead, but he's all right. Like, he's kind of allowed to get away. His wife gets away. She's fine. And all this other kind of shit. But they think that the monster is dead. So then when the monster comes back, like, he's kind of, like, horrified and he feels really bad, and he only makes the bride because Dr. Pretorius essentially, like, gets the monster to, like, blackmail him and said, hey, we're going to kidnap your wife, Elizabeth, unless you make the creature. But so he kind of has to, or they're going to kill his wife, you know what I mean? So he's, like, a lot more sympathetic character, whereas in the book he's not evil, but...
He's an anti-hero.
Yeah, he's not a villain, but...
Right. If you're not going to read the book, see the Robert De Niro Frankenstein. In that one, that's pretty close to the book. Dr. Frankenstein is a sympathetic villain. Okay. The creature is an anti-hero. I mean, he got fucked over. But he commits murders, too. He's not a good guy.
Yeah, he's not.
He commits murders and then pins them on other people.
Yeah. He's
like,
a lot more sophisticated in the book.
Yeah.
Like, he lets that innocent woman get hanged
for
shit that he did.
He did. You're right. And he did it on purpose to punish Dr. Frankenstein.
Right.
For making him.
And he kills that kid. He kills Dr. Frankenstein's brother, like a kid. He breaks his neck.
So he's kind of like a tragic anti-hero.
Yeah.
Frankenstein's monster. But Dr. Frankenstein himself is basically a villain.
Yeah.
Sympathetic, but still a villain. He shouldn't have defied God, is the moral of the story.
He tampered in God's domain.
Okay? For selfish purposes, for selfish reasons, and fucking that shit happened to him. And he should have known better. That's the morality tale.
He's trying to usurp the powers of God.
Mary Shelley's trying to tell you a morality tale.
Yeah.
Okay? And, but no, they're all good. We're going to see more. I want to see some Italian spinoffs. I'm on the Frankenstein trip now.
Yeah, because somebody's talking about Lady Frankenstein.
I'm on the Frankenstein trip. We'll watch them. Got to see Creature from the Black Lagoon. Got to see Wolfman. I've never seen Wolfman.
The original Wolfman?
Never seen it.
I saw it, but a long time ago. Well, that's kind of the cool thing. I think Tubi has a surprising number of the original Universal movies. Which is cool. Like I said, they have Dracula, they have Frankenstein, they have Bride of Frankenstein. I think they might have Son of Frankenstein. They have Son of Dracula.
Yeah.
They have Creature from the Black Lagoon, Revenge of the Creature. They have a shit ton. Somebody mentioned The Old Dark House, which is another one that I've been wanting to see, that Boris Karloff is in that as well. Shudder has that, I think, but I think it's on some other streaming services as well. That's another one that I want to do. Yeah, I'm kind of like getting into this whole... Because remember we talked about before, I was like, I really like to do, like, new horror movies and stuff like that, and stuff from the 70s and 80s, but we've covered so much stuff that I feel like there's a big gap.
Well, these old ones are so old that they're kind of new to a lot of people. If you're a lot of young people, even people our age, have never seen these. They're good. You should see them. They're not... I wouldn't say they're scary. They're not scary. Not by today's standards. They are creepy. You have to think about it a little bit more. Because there's a lot of subtext that they're talking about.
Yeah, because there was a lot of stuff they couldn't
say.
They couldn't
come out and say it. Because they get fucking shit canned. Yeah. They get censored.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of subtext about what's happening. And the traditional Universal Studios monster movies, within reason, you know, once you go down to fucking part five and shit, you know. Right?
But that's true of, like,
that's
every,
true of everything.
Yeah.
They were good, real good. They were artistic. And, they, and a lot of the shit was shot. We want to do Bela Lugosi's fucking Dracula.
Yeah, because that's definitely on
that's
TV.
Real
I saw
good.
That last night.
That's a good one. Okay. Man, when I was a little kid, I saw that shit on television, and it blew me a fucking way.
I've seen it lots of times. And, I've probably seen it more than the original Frankenstein, actually, because it seemed like it was always on.
They would show that early in the morning, right after the cartoons. You know, when I was a kid, I saw that, and it fucking blew. When fucking Bela goes, come here. Remember when he used mind powers on the dude?
Right.
They don't show a lot. It's just a lot of dialogue. And even as a kid, it was tripping me the fuck out. You know. Now, everybody wanted sequels and part three, and yeah, it got better, and sometimes it got ludicrous. But I haven't seen it in a long time. I'll give you a more modern opinion on it as I see him. Because. They tried to reboot Dracula over and over again. The Dracula movie was not really set up for a sequel. It just wasn't. It was supposed to be self-contained.
Yeah.
And people wanted more, so they had to figure out how they were going to give you more. And then there was copywriting involved, so they couldn't give you more sometimes, you know? But definitely see Frankenstein 1 and 2. And we're going to do three here soon, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I've heard, like I said, I don't think I've seen Son of Frankenstein since I was a kid.
Yeah.
But I've heard that a lot of people really like that one, too. But like I said, it's after that, I'm pretty sure, like, it kind of, like, the quality fell off because Boris Karloff wasn't playing the monster anymore, like, after the third one. But, you know, famously, somebody brought this up earlier. They did ask Bela Lugosi to be the monster in this.
Little bitty Bela Lugosi compared to...
Well, I mean, like I said, he did play the monster, like, in another movie later on.
Why Bela?
Well, because he was a big star at that time. Because he'd just been in Dracula, and he kind of, like, saved the studio. Yeah. But the thing about Boris Karloff, I think James Whale, like, saw Boris Karloff, like, in a crime movie and said, ooh, that dude's got a great face, you know, for a monster. And he's, like, a much more hulking, like, imposing presence, especially when they put all the stuff on him. But, Bela Lugosi, there's kind of different stories going around. It's just kind of like, I think the most popular story is that they offered Bela Lugosi the role of the monster, and he's like, no, I don't want to do it, because it's just kind of like, you know, one, you won't be able to see my face, and two, there's no lines, and it wasn't really his kind of thing, you know what I mean? But some people said that that's not true, that some people, that James Whale was like, no, they wanted Boris Karloff all along, so I'm not really sure, like, which one is true.
Bela was the quintessential fucking Dracula.
Yeah.
Okay. That was him. But in The Black Cat, man, he played Vitus Veltigast, which is a dude that had fucking survived the fucking First World War, I think it was, and was fucking going back to find his old commander, who turned out was a Satanist who sacrificed the whole fucking unit, and Vitus had come out of the fucking Cool Gaul, which was like a fucking concentration camp. You guys got to see Black Cat, the original. Boris Karloff, Bela Lugosi. Bela could do a fucking awesome role. It didn't have to be Dracula. You know, you could put him in some shit and he was fucking creepy.
I'm pretty sure in one of the later Frankenstein movies he played Igor.
Yeah, okay.
Either Son of Frankenstein or the one after that, I can't remember.
He was a good actor. Though.
He was, yeah.
He was better when he was a leading man.
Yeah, he's
kind of
like
dude.
More like a suave motherfucker.
Yeah, he's like,
Boris could do that too, though. Now I will say, and this is no, you know, I'm not shitting on Bela or anything, but I do think Boris Karloff had maybe a wider range.
Yeah.
Just in the fact that he could play lots of different kind of characters. Yeah. He could play a monster. He could play a suave motherfucker. I kind of feel like Bela, like, played both of those kind of roles, but I think he was better as, like, a suave motherfucker.
Yeah, Bela was a sex symbol.
Right.
For his era. He wasn't a monster, per se. It's just that Dracula was both. He was a fucking sex symbol and a fucking monster. So he was good at that. But Bela, you'd look at him now and you'd go, like, well, he's not really... It wasn't the day where Jack motherfuckers ran around on screen all the time. It wasn't about physicality. It was more about how you delivered lines and what your facial expressions and what you were wearing. Bela in his fucking... in his prime was the shit. He was the kind of dude that would talk his way up your woman's skirt. That's what he was.
Yeah, okay. Big time.
And he was just a sexy foreign guy. Yeah. Where was he from? It wasn't Romania, I don't think, was it? It was
Hungarian.
Hungary,
yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and he was Hungary. Just Hungary, yeah. And he was just, he was a cool dude, too. Poor guy didn't, his life didn't end well. Well, I guess it did. Because his life kind of ended with, hey, man, rehab is a reality, you know. That's how his life ended.
I will always respect Bela Lugosi for being essentially like the first big star to go into rehab and like be open about it, because I think that might have gone a long way toward like destigmatizing that.
He got addicted to painkillers and then became a junkie. And he was like the first celebrity to come out and go, yeah, fucking drug addiction is a reality.
It's a bitch, yeah.
And go to fucking rehab if you're addicted to this shit.
Yeah, which was like a big deal.
That was a big deal. Right.
Well, the thing about it is that Bela Lugosi, sadly, I kind of feel like after, you know, he got hugely famous with Dracula and then he was in like in a few more movies, but then like it really seemed like his career like went on the decline, whereas Boris Karloff was like working all the way up until like, you know, until he was an old man.
Yeah. Well, Bela was probably hard to work with. He was a junkie.
That's true.
He was a junkie. And he was in his own little world. But fucking Karloff didn't have that problem, so he was a lot easier to work with.
Yeah, Karloff was like a lot more professional. But yeah, like I said, even in the 60s, if you you know, subscribe over at my Scare Salon channel, I've been doing his Thriller series, like from the early 1960s. You know, he hosted that. He did all this voiceover work and stuff like that because he has a great voice. So, you know. Hugo says, fun fact, there's an earlier Frankenstein movie made by Thomas Edison in 1910. Yeah, I've seen it. I actually did a really long write-up, like a silent movie watch-along.
Never seen it.
Like, for my, on my Scare Salon site, like, not too long ago.
Was it any good?
It's okay. It's not really a lot like, I mean, it's silent, obviously, because it's 1910. And it's pretty short, if I remember correctly. I think it's like less than an hour. It's been a while since I've seen it. But yeah, I wrote like a thing about it. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I kind of feel like of all the Universal Monster movies that we've watched so far, and like I said, I'm excited that we're doing all these because I haven't seen them in such a long time. So it's really cool to like revisit them. We definitely have to do Dracula because I know that's on there. But
Hugo's talking about the 1931 Spanish Dracula version. Okay, well lot of
it was made with
versions.
Like the same sets and everything. You're right. And a lot of people like that one better.
Yeah, and then somebody mentioned in there fucking Nosferatu. Nosferatu visually had it. It's just that it was a silent flick. It wasn't a talkie. It would have been a lot better if it was a talkie, but you know what I mean? It's before its time. And the thing is that your bitch ass should have never even have seen Nosferatu. They ordered that shit fucking burned.
Destroyed, yeah.
Destroyed. You're lucky to have even seen it, which is, that's a miracle to modern film history that survived. It is a good movie. I've seen it. It's a silent movie, which puts it in a different realm. It's not like a talkie. But fucking tell you what, man, that vampire looked badass. It did. It looked creepy as shit.
That still looks creepy.
Yeah, it looked a lot more creepy than Bela. But Bela was a speaking vampire. That was the first of the sexy vampires.
Yeah, he was like the suave motherfucker.
Right. Yeah, and that it was a different play on that.
Nosferatu looked more like
a rat
described in the book.
Yeah,
he didn't really look like a suave motherfucker.
That bitch right there looked like a fucking rat.
Yeah.
You know, which that's creepy too. Very creepy.
Samantha said, what's that vampire movie with Willem Dafoe and John Malkovich? Shadow of the Vampire. But that was about the making of Nosferatu. Also a really good movie. I was looking for that last night because I thought, I was like, ooh, maybe it's on Tubi. It's not. Gods and Monsters is on Tubi, which is about, I think Ian McKellen was in that. And that's like actually about James Whale. Although I don't think it's about the making of Frankenstein. I think it's about James Whale like later on in his life. So there's that. Let's see. They say the Dracula 1931 Spanish version, it was better than Bela's. I've heard that too, but I don't think I've ever seen the Spanish version. But I hear that all the time, that the Spanish version was
better. It's in Spanish?
Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't mind seeing it.
It was made like the same year, and I'm pretty sure it was made like on the same sets, and it's the same script, essentially, but it was just like made for the Spanish market. Yeah, yeah. I can't remember the name of the guy that played the vampire, though. I've seen clips of it, but I've never seen the whole thing straight through.
Why would people say it was better?
I don't know. Well, I don't know, because I haven't really seen it. I've seen clips of it, but, you know, I mean, the Bela Lugosi one, like I said, is iconic, and I don't know if I'm going to think the other one's better or not, but yeah, so... I don't know. Trey's excited because he said Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein are two of his favorite movies of all time.
Well, then hopefully you'll like our review.
Yeah, I mean, they're both great.
They're both great.
I like them both for different reasons. It's just kind of like you said, it's like the Alien Aliens thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, like, as far as those two, I like Alien, the first one, better because I like the more horror thing as opposed to, like, the more action thing. But they're both amazing movies. The same thing applies here. Yeah. I like this one. I like the first one because it's kind of like simpler. It's more like a traditional monster movie. It's like scarier. Like, I like the look of the makeup better. I like the fact that the monster doesn't really talk. He's more, even though he's sympathetic, he's more of an antagonist, more of a monster or like a creature. So I like that. But the second one, I just really like the complexity of the story. I love Dr. Pretorius. I kind of like that that the monster now has like more of a personality, although it kind of like takes away his scariness. But like I said, I'm glad that they introduced Dr. Pretorius as like the straight up villain, because, you know, otherwise the movie wouldn't really have like a very strong villain, and it does. So I think that was like a wise decision to add that character.
I'm gonna give it to Bride of Frankenstein.
Yeah.
I think it's a superior movie. Shot composition, tone of the movie.
It's a beautiful
movie. The scenes that are in there. The monster talking. He's starting to talk, and now he's a dude. He's just smoking and drinking.
Smoke.
Trying to fit in with everybody else. They keep fucking with him. and then he's not so much the villain. Yeah, he's a threatening guy, but he's sympathetic. Then Pretorius comes in, a guy messing with his own jizz.
Yeah.
To make creatures.
Growing tiny people with jizz in jars.
Right. That's weird shit.
Don't do that. And
just the budget of the movie, the internal shots of the fucking Castle Dracula with the vaulted ceilings, and just, it was a bigger, better movie, more gothic. You know, the graveyard scenes, down in the catacombs. It had a gothic gestalt to it that is like, yeah, that's fucking Frankenstein. That's it. You know, an undead living man made out of fucking body parts running around inside of a cemetery and down in a crypt and drinking and eating down there, and there's fucking skulls, and he's talking to a mad scientist who's messing with jizz. Fucking, yeah, that's it, man. That's it. Yeah, motherfucker messing with jizz. And fucking, and then they're going to make a fucking beautiful woman out of body parts, using the damn bones of an 18-year-old that died in the 1800s. They're going to put some badass meat on it, put an artificial brain in the heart of a hooker. And she comes out, and she's
the perfect woman.
Boobitude and everything, like a mummy, and fucking with her freaky-ass fucking industrial fucking haircut. Fucking, it's like something off the fucking goth industrial fucking club. And she comes out, and she doesn't like the monster. No, she likes Dr. Frankenstein.
She just hisses and screams.
Yeah, yeah. She knows hot when she sees it. She's like, she don't like, that motherfucker's ugly. She likes this guy over here. He's cute. You know, it's, no, that's it. That's the fucking movie. Okay, that's the fucking movie. And I'm going to give it to I'm going to give it to part two. Bride of Frankenstein.
The hair, by the way, was, I didn't even realize this, but the hair, by the way, was actually inspired by that very famous bust of Nefertiti.
Yeah.
Where she has that.
It was a headdress. Yeah.
That's what they...
I see it now.
Yeah.
Like Nefertiti.
Yeah. I didn't think of that, but I was like, oh yeah, now that you mentioned
it. Well, she's definitely in mummy wraps.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, when they
pull her out of
Pull her out of there. What I was going to say, too, because here's something that you pointed out while we were watching the movie, is that it seems to be set in the 1800s, but also in the contemporary time, like that it was made like in the 1930s.
Yeah, it's not in a time.
That was a deliberate choice, apparently, by James Whale. Okay. I think that the studio wanted it to be set in the present day, which then would have been the 1930s. Yeah. But he kind of wanted to do almost like an alternate universe type of thing, where you would have like incorporated both time periods. So that's what you were saying. You're like, well, you look like everyone looks like they're dressed from the 1930s, but then, and then there's like scientific shit from like the 1930s, but then there's stuff that's like
from the 1800s.
From the 1800s.
Yeah.
And you were just kind of like, well, they just.
What year is this?
They just fucked that up or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, he deliberately did it, okay. Made it in this kind of like liminal space because.
It's in its own universe.
It's in its own universe. Okay. So yeah, he did do that on purpose. Okay. And the first one. He did that in the first one too, although I think it's less obvious because in the second one, like, it stood out a lot.
All the peasants are in the 1800s. They got that body in the 1800s. But a lot of the main characters are dressed in the early 1900s.
Right.
And the technology is fucking 1700s sometimes. Or the architecture is sometimes 1700s, 1500s.
But then sometimes you have stuff from, like, that was contemporary with, like, the early 20th century.
Yeah, and then, and then a car goes by in the first one. I think the first one had cars in it, didn't it?
Maybe.
I'm pretty sure there was an automobile in the first one.
Yeah, but then in the second one, too, you have, like, horse-drawn carriages.
Horse-drawn carriages, and you're like, what year is this?
Right.
So yeah, because it's not in a year.
Yeah.
It's not in a year.
Well, like I said, I didn't realize, but I was reading something earlier today that said that he did that deliberately.
Okay.
Because he wanted to kind of, like, have the feel of the book, which was published in 1818.
Yeah.
Written in 1816 and published in 1818. But he also wanted it to be, like, contemporary with the time.
Because they show Mary Shelley, and she's talking to dudes, and they're dressed from the early 1800s. That's Napoleonic era.
Well, that's supposed to be Lord Byron and Percy Shelley.
Yeah.
So that's supposed to be 1816, because that's they're referring to the Haunted Summer when she wrote the novel.
Okay. And then later on, you see stuff, and it's still 1800s, but she's just explained it. It's in a mythical time period.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to estimate what year this is based on fucking the clothes. And the things that I'm seeing. And no, it's a mythical time period. It's gothic times.
Yeah.
It's gothic times.
Yeah, it didn't stand out to me too much, but I think it stood out more in the second one.
Yeah.
So I could see what you were saying, but
right.
I didn't know if it was a deliberate choice or not, but I was reading something earlier that said it was deliberate. Yeah.
Okay.
Because
they would have known it was deliberate back then.
Yeah.
Because they would have known what was normal.
Yeah, because, I mean, honestly, like, in the early 1930s, it's like, you know, the 1800s wasn't really that long ago.
No.
So, you know what I mean? They would have been a lot more aware of it.
They're running around Castle Dracula doing high-tech shit, and I'm going, wait a minute, hold on. That's not 1930s technology. That's not even 20s. That's before all that. It's all mythical.
Yeah.
Is what they're doing.
Yeah. But that's, you know, fair enough.
Yeah.
Danny Rowling said a human steampunk mech suit Frankenstein of an old-timey freak show giant corpse reanimated would be cool to see.
Yeah.
That's very specific, but you're right. That would actually be really cool. Hugo said, I prefer Nosferatu over Bella anytime. I'm more of a creature guy. I mean, yeah, Nosferatu, like, that is more book accurate, like, at least the look of it. But I like them both, you know what I was saying. Feed Tom's Frankenstein hungry for grub and it's feeding time. It probably is. Are you hungry?
I'm getting there, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it was probably about time.
Yeah.
Powered by a midget genius. That makes it even better.
Yeah.
It's like a little petty person. That would be cool. Like, I don't know if somebody, like, built that or, you know what I mean. But, yeah, that would be pretty awesome. And Trey said, I just realized I'm wearing a Frankenstein t-shirt today. We'll see. There you go. We didn't even, like, mean to. Well, what happened was we watched the first Frankenstein, like, a few nights ago. And then last night, I think we watched Bride of Frankenstein. Oh, my phone just made a noise. Maybe I got a text or something. I'm not really sure. And I was like, well, you know what? Why don't we just... Because it was, like, several days ago that we watched the first Frankenstein, I was like, I didn't remember it as good as, like, Bride of Frankenstein, which we just watched last night. So I was like, let's just combine them, because if I try to do them, like, separately, we're just going to end up talking about them both anyway.
Yeah. So, most of talking about them.
So I figured
we'll do part 3 on its own. But we're probably going to move on to shit like the fucking Creature from the Black Lagoon. Probably would be the next.
Yeah, we can either do, like, for Tuesday. Well, tomorrow's Monday, so we're going to do a haunting tomorrow.
Yeah.
But Tuesday, I mean, we could either do the original Dracula or we could do Creature from the Black
Lagoon.
Let's
do Dracula. And then we'll do
You
Creature.
Want a Dracula? Okay.
You would do
That would be good probably.
Yeah, okay.
Because they're, I know for sure that those are both on Tubi, so we can watch those both.
I haven't seen Dracula in a long time.
I haven't either. I've seen it a bunch of times, but I saw it a bunch of times when I was a kid, so I probably haven't seen it like in a really long time. But yeah, so as I said, if you're in the U.S., I'm not sure about other countries, Tubi has a lot of the Universal Monster movies like on there for free, so you can go on there, including
they're
these
worth
two.
Seeing.
And they're definitely worth seeing if you haven't seen them. Like, especially if you're into horror, I kind of feel like you
need to see. If you're young and you've never seen these old classics, it kind of behooves you to see them, all right? They're part of history. They're part of your culture. Doesn't matter where you are in the world, either. Fucking, even in the Middle East or fucking Asia, these movies should be appreciated because they ended up contributing to a global culture that people fucking know about. This is where the shit came from. You know what I mean? It was from these movies. And they're good. They're good. They're
and I
good.
Feel like when you think about Frankenstein's monster, most of the stuff, if you asked, like, just a random motherfucker in the street about Frankenstein's monster, most of the stuff they would say about it would be from the movies, not so much from the book.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the book isn't as widely read. And so a lot of people, if you talk about that, they're talking about the monster or the movies more than the novel.
And there's a lot of... They played on this a lot, the same thing. I mean, the same theme. There was shit that came out recently that was based on this that I fucking love. Like, I love Frankenstein's Army, which I think was Russian. Or was it German?
That could have been German.
I think, Frankenstein's Army was great. It was about World War II.
Wasn't that an asylum movie?
I think it might have been. I don't know. It was fucking crazy.
Liked it. It was. It was a super fun.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen Frankenstein's Army.
Yeah, Frankenstein's Army.
Check that out.
Fucking crazy.
It's like super fun.
And it's real gory, you know?
Let's see. Danny Rowling said, what's tomorrow's A Haunting episode going to be? We'll probably do The Possessed, because I think that you wanted us to do that one.
Yeah, we'll probably do The Possessed.
So we'll probably do The Possessed. I think we watched it a couple weeks ago, but I don't think we have reviewed it yet.
I'm gonna make a couple of hamburgers, and then we'll get on that.
All right, so we'll do that.
All right.
So hopefully you guys had a good time to listen to us talking about old Universal Monster movies. And we'll be back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, doing our Haunting Mondays. Probably it'll be The Possessed. If I change my mind, I'll post about it tomorrow at some point. So have a good rest of your weekend, everybody, and we'll see you guys again tomorrow evening. Good night.